Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, everybody.
Hello.
Remember us?
My name is Kristen.
And I'm Jenny.
And we do a podcast. It's about Buffy. We haven't
talked. The Vampire Slayer, not the other one.
Right. We haven't talked since, like, you know, the Sunnydale High School.
I don't know if you remember me from homeroom. But now we're
signed my yearbook,
but
yeah. Here we are, college. Holy crap. We've missed you. It's been six weeks.
It feels like 6 years.
It really, really does.
The passage of time without you has dramatically shifted.
We hope all of you had a great summer in between high school and college.
I hope you had a summer. I don't care what kind.
Oh, wow.
Throwback.
So here we are in the intro. We know that you just want to get through the intro.
Here we are in the intro.
That's where we are.
I'm dropping a pin.
Coordinates are intro at intro. We know we wanted to get into the episode, but we have a couple of things that we want to share with you. Namely, we're in season 4 of Buffy, and that means we're also in season 1 of Angel.
Oh, my God.
Right. And for 3 seasons of Buffy, you have all written to us and said, what are you going to do when you get to Angel? Do you guys know that there's a show called Angel? And we'd love to hear you talk about it. Could you talk about Angel?
We're going to tell you what we're going to do about Angel.
Yeah. As many of you already know, Brittany Ashley and Laura Zach are joining our family.
Right.
And they are co-hosting Angel on Top. A little throwback there to Amends. Is it Amends?
The Christmas episode?
Yeah. Where Joyce asks Buffy if the angel should go on top.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
I get it.
Anyway, they are beginning an Angel Watch podcast, Angel on Top. It launches next week, May 30th, the very first episode. They're going to take you episode by episode just like we do. We're going to loan them some jingles. The Detective Angel jingle for sure. One other very, very important jingle.
Near and dear to our hearts.
Super dear to our hearts. But we won't spoil which one that is, just in case some of you are coming into Angel for the first time. And you may be wondering, but Jenny, Kristen, when I watched Buffy and Angel on television, they happened on the same day. It was 8 o'clock and then 9 o'clock. Was it 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock? I actually don't know if it
legit,
was.
Legit, I have no idea.
We'll just say it is. It makes sense. It was 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And why would you be doing Buffy on the 23rd but not Angel until the 30th? What does it all mean? Well,
let us illuminate.
Let us please get you there. First of all, we are going to be alternating with Angel on Top. So we're here today, May 23rd. Happy May 23rd to you. And Angel on Top will be May 30th, and we're going to go every other week. And we're doing that for a couple of reasons. One, we know that many of you are able to watch the whole season of Buffy in one sitting and keep up with us. But
some of you are like, whoa, I've got The Handmaid's Tale. I've got Westworld. I'm catching up on Community. There's lots to manage here.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Uh-huh.
Is it gone? Is it not? It's not.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Anyway, so we wanted to allow for people who wanted to watch and keep up with us to be able to. But also, Jenny and I mentioned a couple of times as we wound out of season 3 that we were moving through some family stuff, some personal family stuff, and we're still moving through that. And when we were looking at our May 23rd launch date, we knew we either were going to need to come back in a little bit of a lighter fashion, or we were going to need to wait until the fall to come back. And we did not want to wait. We wanted to come back. And so this seemed like the best solution for all things. We also really appreciate all the love that so many of you have sent us, knowing that we're moving through some hard stuff right now.
So yeah, thanks, y'all.
So thank you. Thank you to our Scooby gang. And we hope that you'll be as excited as we are to have this back and forth. I think it's going to be really fun. Really excited to hear what Laura and Brittany have to say about Angel. And just so you know, many of you have asked too, what about the crossover episodes? Obviously, we will be partying with some crossover episodes.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We'll be getting in on each other's podcasts with some regularity.
Absolutely.
If you think I can go without talking about a certain someone on a certain other episode of television, okay. You're wrong. You're wrong.
And if you're like, wow, this is great information to have, however, I am a visual learner, please, Jenny and Kristen, then be advised that you can find our release schedule over at BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com. Just click on calendar, and we've got episodes up through the end of the summer right now, so you can know what to expect when you're expecting to be listening to our podcast and also Angel on Top.
Yeah, there's a book about that, what to expect when you're expecting. It's about Buffy and Angel.
Yeah.
Also pertaining to Angel, so you can find out like how to subscribe to their feed. You can find out about their Patreon. You can find out about their socials using our website. Just go to BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com/Angel, and all of that information is laid out for you. Their Patreon page is pretty fun. They're writing, you know, we do a song at the end of every episode. Brittany and Laura are writing a poem from the perspective of brooding Angel.
Yes.
For every episode.
No intel whether those poems will be in English or French.
Or Latin.
Maybe they'll go every third week, you know, every third episode.
I'm sure they're up to the French, trilingual Latin challenge of writing poetry in all of those languages. But in addition
to... I want to put $5 please down right now. Laura speaks French. Brittany speaks Latin.
Wow.
We'll find out.
Find out and let you know. But we wanted to let you know a couple of things. They'll be doing Angel watches just like we do Buffy watches. As a matter of fact, Jenny and Brittany and Laura all did an Angel watch on the 20th, just past us. You can find out all that on their Patreon. And there's a bonus episode that is released also today, May 23rd, over there, where Jenny and I sat down with Laura and Brittany. And we talked about the journey of our beloved Detective Angel from seasons 1 through 3 of Buffy's. It's all about Angel all the time.
All about Angel.
And it's for all of their patrons over there. You can access it over there. So BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com/Angel will get you there.
Also, wow. So much happening right now in our store, if that's the kind of thing you're into. Just a quick heads up. Many things which have been out of stock have been restocked. We've got Muscle Tanks coming back. We've got a new Just Keep Fighting color variation that's like this cool Heather Aqua with like yellow print up for pre-order. Oh my God. We also have a Just Keep Fighting tote. Just a whole lot of excitement over there in the shop, which of course you can find by going to BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com and clicking on shop. All of those items should be up sometime today, Wednesday. If they're not there right this moment in time when you're listening to the dulcet tones of my voice, they will be soon. So just keep an eye out for that. Also, oh my God, we are coming to Brooklyn to do a live taping of everybody's favorite episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Beer Bad. It's happening on July 8th, which is a Sunday, and we would love for you to join us. So please feel free to get all of the hot information by going to BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com and clicking on our calendar page. Everything you need to know is right there. Yes! Oh my God. So exciting.
Yes! So exciting. So exciting.
So exciting. And now, let's get in to the very first episode of season 4.
Wow. In the words of Jenny, wow.
How dare you? You know, how did this become a thing? Wow. Everybody says wow.
Not as much as you.
Maybe. Welcome to season 4 of Buffering the Vampire Slayer, a podcast where we are watching and discussing every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer one at a time. My name is Jenny Owen Youngs.
And my name is Kristen Russo. And this week, as you may have gathered from Jenny's unbridled enthusiasm,
yes,
we are talking about season 4, episode 1, The Freshman. Stay tuned at the end of this podcast every week for an original song written by us recapping the Buffy episode we are discussing And we're discussing it spoiler-free, Jenny. You forgot to say that in your intro.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm rusty.
We're coming back.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Getting
back into it. Loosening up.
Stretch.
The old,
we're going to take a minute and stretch. So, okay.
The Freshman was written and directed by Joss Whedon, some guy, and originally aired on October 5th, 1999.
Ooh, we're getting to the end of 99. I wonder what's going to happen. Do you think Y2K is going to
take
us all?
Yeah, do you think computers will stop working because of clocks?
This is the one where Buffy feels like a fish out of water in her first... I didn't write it.
I know.
In her first year at college, but the mysterious disappearance of a fellow student, a.k.a. Eddie, puts her back in her element.
Wow. Well,
thanks, Eddie. Thanks for getting vamped so Buffy could feel better.
Yes.
Wow.
Everybody's always just getting sacrificed so Buffy can have a nice arc. You ever notice that?
I do. I do. I mean, that's how you write a good plot line, you know?
Yes.
Have a vampire slayer and then make sure a lot of people die so that she can continue on
forward.
So there's a lot to talk about here.
There's so much happening.
We're in college.
Yes, we are.
We are in college. We are. And you laugh because you're like, Buffy's in college. But I feel like, Jenny, you and I are going to do a lot of talking about us being in college in this episode.
Oh, Lord have mercy on me, a sinner.
Literally. You sort of can't talk about this episode without reliving your own freshman year. Especially your like entry into freshman year of college.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But let's start at the very beginning, as they say. Who did Buffy's hair in this first scene?
Wait, I don't remember what it looked like. What did it look like?
How could you not? Typical. It's like two.
I'm pretty bad at noticing hair.
It's two incredible like French braids that like go from the right to the left and meet around at the back. Like there's no way that any person is capable of doing that to their own hair. Well, maybe Jessica Nicole.
Yeah, Jessica could probably do it. Well, who was it that was really good at braiding and who was bad at braiding? Willow v. Xander.
Xander
was really
good at it.
And Willow was bad.
So you
but
think
Xander's out of town, though.
Right. So Xander would have had to do that braid, you know, a couple months
ago. Maybe Oz did it.
But yeah, it's like Buffy's hair's all whatever. Willow's got a college cut, you know?
Yeah, she's got a college cut. She's wearing
Did you make that noise because you really like Willow's hair?
It just looks like a great cut for college.
Okay.
Willow's wearing this hoodie. With like a little logo on it that looks like it says The Mystery Woman, and it kind of looks like a hatless Carmen Sandiego is featured. And
which would be of the time.
Do you know anything about it, people?
Yeah, let us know. BufferingTheVampireSlayer@gmail.com.
Thank you.
So this is like the first, there's going to be a lot of times in this episode where I'm like, okay, so this reminds me of my college experience. And this
when you were like hanging out in the graveyard doing course selection. Sure.
Exactly. After French braiding my own hair.
No,
but like this, looking through the courses and being like images of pop culture, you just watch commercials in class. Like, I feel like college is, I mean, as we'll get to later, that class winds up being a nightmare, but college is pretty exciting for a lot of reasons. But one is that you're taking classes that are really fucking cool.
Fun times. A lot more autonomy in terms of what you're focusing on and learning about. So exciting.
Another thing in this scene that I really liked was that Willow, I think, is like, it's like 5 miles away. It's uncharted territory. But to the viewer, we're like, it is uncharted. Like our map of Sunnydale just like whoop, just like got a little bigger.
Which, speaking, just to jump ahead for 1 second, how do you think Buffy got home?
Right, to Joyce's house?
Yeah, would she take the bus?
I wondered the same thing. I was like, I don't see her have a
five
car.
5 miles.
5 miles is kind of a hike.
Maybe she just ran.
But she does love the bus. We know she loves riding the bus.
So
this scene, like before we get to the campus, really just sets us up for new hairdos, college.
Table setting.
And of course that Buffy's not super on point right now because this vamp that they've been waiting for gets out of his grave and wanders away and they miss the whole thing, which is just, I don't know. I think it's just a little tip of like big life change. You know?
Yeah. Then we go to the credits, which are different.
Couple important things in the credits.
The strong feature for the Hellhound early on, which I know you love.
I do. I love the fucking hell.
Four-legged furry scabs.
Yeah.
So, and also Vamp Willow, or regular Willow in Vamp Willow's clothing.
Right. Get to the important part, Jenny. What else is in the credits?
God, there's a lot of Spike. Is it just me or is there a lot of Spike in the credits?
A lot of peroxide covered vamp in this.
Ooh, yes. I wonder what that could mean. And then there's some stuff from episodes that are not episode one that we haven't seen yet that we're not going to talk about until we get there.
Yes, Xander squeezing a juice box.
We're not going to talk about it until
I'm just saying. I wonder why he's squeezing the juice box.
Me too.
That's all I'm saying.
He's thirsty.
Yeah.
He is thirsty.
Wow. So... Okay, moving along.
So I noticed when we were watching just now, the very, very first shot of the college campus has this totally random vignette.
I'm sorry, screech sound effect.
Oh, what?
Are you done with talking about the credits?
What did I miss?
You missed Buffy and Faith dancing to the... What are you talking about? What did you miss? My two biggest notes about the credits were fucking bad girls.
Do you know what's wild? I have seen that micro scene gift and sent to us so many times that it does not register as new information. Because it feels like it's always been there.
It feels
like it was there in season one. It feels like it's under my skin. It feels like it's in my soul.
It's the soundtrack to your soul. It's just the gif of Buffy and Faith dancing together. But also, one other thing that I want to point out that is almost on par with the sexiness of Buffy and Faith dancing together is Giles in a chainsaw. Now, I don't know why he's going to have a chainsaw, but...
But you love Giles with a chainsaw.
It's in the credits, and I'm fucking here for it.
Yeah, I'm into it.
You know who else is here for it?
Who?
Kate Leth is probably here.
Yeah,
for Giles.
If I had to put some money down on Kate Leth being here for some stuff,
with
anything
a chainsaw.
That ends with Giles, really.
So maybe we can jump right over to Kate. I know you've all missed Kate, and we can go to the Fashion Watch.
Hell yes.
It's time for our friend Kate. Fashion update.
Well, welcome back to Buffy Fashion Watch. And yes, Kristen and Jenny, you are right. I'm very happy about that addition to the intro sequence. We're at college. Everything is different. Willow's got new hair. Buffy's wearing mesh and silk and wedges and a puffy-sleeved sundress I'm particularly fond of. Also, shout out to her braids from the cold open, which look really great and super cute. There's so much to comment on here, from Giles' companion Olivia, who I truly wish became a series regular, wearing Giles' shirt. Ugh, the dream. To Willow's blossoming love affair with knitted and crocheted sweaters, which we are going to see a lot of. Sorry for the spoiler. Of course, the episode's fashion prize goes to Sunday, who I also wish was a series regular, except for the boring fat jokes. That's whatever. She pulls off an incredible Tracy Lords in Crybaby meets Y2K goth look that is, in my opinion, iconic. I have definitely thought of her when getting dressed more than once in my life. The twisted hair, the chokers, the lace, the leggings, the vamp lipstick, everything about her look is iconic, and I love a blonde goth. It's just a great look. Too bad about all that. I prepared a song for this episode, but unfortunately, my voice isn't in the range, so I thought I would read to you the lyrics as a spoken word piece. I hope you'll enjoy. In season one, she knew everything. A teenage girl who rarely ever took advice. Now she's been killed, bitten, transported from hell, back and more, but nothing's even close to the first day of school, no. We've seen her irresponsible until there's demons to face. Now it's time to be responsible. College is more than just a new place, and it almost seems Willow can't remember that Buffy's definitely wise in ways that might not apply. Every time I see, I forget how she ignores her friends' common sense, but they're merely freshmen. Her watcher took a summer vacation to forget her, invited a babe to play records, except that Buffy's found that the campus has vampires galore. She's gonna need her friends, but they've dispersed throughout town, I said. it's pretty irresponsible to pick on the girl that slays. And Sunday, you're responsible for your own public disgrace. Back in season 3, can we not remember when the Scoobies led a tribe to make sure the mayor died? For the life of me, I cannot believe she'd think she'd stand half a chance taking on that freshman. What? I'm an overachiever. I'll see you at the mall.
How dare you?
Kate, how? That's it. I've had enough.
Dare you?
It's just too much.
Who can handle this woman?
Eternal question. An eternal question, Jenny. Kate, thank you so much for just wowing us all the time. Just
100% of the
100%
time.
100% wows 100% of the time.
Jesus H. Christ, that was too much.
Okay. Yes. Let's go to college.
Let's do it.
So we looked up that the UC Sunnydale campus is UCLA, the exterior, most of the exterior shots. I don't know about all of them, but
okay.
You know, certainly the main exterior shot, and I think the library is a UCLA library.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's a lot. So this is like a montage. It's not a montage. It's not like a proper montage, but we like in 2 seconds, we get this woman standing in the square with like, freshmen, if you have this color folder, go here. And if you have this color folder, go here. Then like there's a bunch of protesters being like, hell no, we won't whatever to like some generalized protest. There's like a line of pledges that go by without shirts on. Then there's somebody who's like, do you want to join this rally? Then somebody's like, do you have Jesus in your life? And then she gets invited to a frat party. And yeah, it's just... Here's where the kudos go, is to really capturing every element of, like, this is what I remember going to college being like walking onto campus and being, like, being hit by all angles of all of these elements.
There was, like, a Greek presence on your campus?
There, sure, yeah. Oh. You know, I participated in the Greek
element.
Oh, right,
I forgot how many frat parties you've been to.
Yeah,
right,
I was not a part of a sorority, but I was almost a part of a fraternity, you know what I mean? I love to go to a frat party in my stretch black pants with the like flare leg and a little pair of chunky heels and a tight tank top, drinking some punch till I went home and threw it all up.
Gross.
College was great. I said that sarcastically. I mean, it was. It was great. But also, please, I would never drink a glass of punch from a frat party. You could not pay me enough money to drink whatever the hell was in that punch. Just bad. Speaking of drinking and frat parties.
Free jello shots for freshman women.
Fuck.
Gross.
What does that sound like to you, Jenny?
The patriarchy!
You have gotten a lot better as the seasons have gone on at intro, like, transitioning into the jingle. I also want everybody at home to know that normally when we put the jingle in, we don't hear it. Like we're taping and
we
Jenny
just pause and then I drop the file in and we know what it sounds like so we don't listen to it. But just now, I played it for us so that we could get into the spirit.
Yeah, so we heard it with you for the first time just now for season 4.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's fucked up and stupid, just like everything within the patriarchy is.
And really gross. And don't... Ugh. So bad.
But also remember jello shots?
Ew, barely.
Really? Barely? God, jello shots were like such a magnificent and giant part of
We didn't have a Greek culture of any kind.
Right. So Jenny went to SUNY Purchase and I went to SUNY Binghamton.
Yeah, and SUNY Purchase I think still doesn't have frats, although I remember there was like some petitioning to like start a frat like shortly after I left, but it's such a fact, or it was such a you know, freaky crunchy art school that like I don't think that's the thing.
Yeah. Binghamton Purchase is a lot smaller than Binghamton too, right? Binghamton was like 10,000 students.
I would say we were like half the size.
Yeah. So we had all of the things.
And I think like art kids don't have time to like sit around and make jello shots.
Really? I feel like that's exactly a thing that an art
kid would... they're like, get me drunk faster.
Oh, I see.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, no waiting. Two Slayers, no waiting.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of jello shots in my life. In college and after college, like even after I was out of college, parties would have jello shots. We would make jello shots.
So
how many times have I said jello shots since I started talking
about? Like 40.
A lot of times.
I think.
Moving along from alcohol in a solid state.
Into thrusting and spurting.
Yes, can we hear this Willow monologue?
God.
It's pretty good.
Please.
So here's Willow talking about how excited she is about college.
It's just in high school, knowledge was pretty much frowned upon. You really had to work to learn anything. But here, the energy, the collective intelligence, it's like this force, this penetrating force, and I can just feel my mind opening up, you know, and letting this place just thrust into and spurt knowledge into... That sentence ended up in a different place than it started out in.
Willow, get a grip!
Willow's like, short hair, don't care. Thrust, thrust, spurt.
No. No, thank you.
I mean, let's not forget that our Willow has just started having sex. Like, she's been...
Right,
she just started having sex at the end of her senior year, which means, guess what her summer was?
The summer of fuck?
It was the summer of... I was not going to say that, but yes, Jenny.
I'm sorry, was
it
okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the... Okay. Yeah, it was Willow's summer of fuck. So, like, you know, that's what she's got on her mind. Buffy is confused and lost and turned around. She's overwhelmed. And nobody else really seems to be. Like,
yeah, they're just like going with the flow. Oz has been to the campus a million times because of his band.
Right.
Willow is just excited to like be able to learn without having to like feel shame about wanting to learn.
Yeah, but Buffy's just like, where is this thing? Where is this other thing?
Xander's not around.
Right. And they go up to the library, and that's like this second piece of Buffy's undoing is like,
right.
This isn't my home.
My regular library.
Yeah.
This one's real big.
It really is a very big and beautiful library.
My library was not majestic, but it was homey.
Yeah, my library at Binghamton, I don't even remember it. I was recently talking to a friend of mine who went to college with me, and we were trying to remember what the library looked like and could not recall. So, but you know what I do remember?
What do you remember?
The bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
So a college bookstore, this is like still within the montage for me. Like your bookstore was a place. It's like, first of all, the comment about books being really expensive, super on the nose. What mm-hmm. the fuck, college bookstores?
Come
and
on.
Just like academic books in general, I have a very big problem with how expensive academic books cost.
Prohibitively expensive.
Yes, it is, you know? I don't know if you know this, but when
Kristen, I think only people above a certain, like, whose family is above a certain median income should be able to, like, learn.
You're right. And... Well, that makes sense because it's really only people who are really smart who have... money.
That's so definitely how it works.
You want to keep the
yeah.
right, of course. So
just perpetuate that circle.
Yes, of course.
Gross.
Welcome to season 4, everybody.
Yeah.
We've turned. Speaking of things that make me go, oh, Buffy reaches for some books, knocks them off the shelf into what I wrote down in my notes as Beefcake Riley.
Beefcake Riley. It's like somebody left Angel out in the sun. Non-vampire angel out in the sun for about two long beach summers.
And out popped.
He's fully bleached and tanned. And look at him go.
Out popped Riley. So whatever, who knows? This might be Riley's only episode. Who knows? But I will say that I posted something on Twitter about a month, 3 weeks before the season went live about my opinions on Riley. And it might be one of my most viral tweets of all time.
Most viral tweets of all time.
It had like 96 comments on it, like on all platforms. There were like hundreds of people weighing in about their feelings about Riley. So, you know, we'll just see what happens.
So far in this episode, all he's done is be like tall and handsome and nice, if not maybe necessarily like giving Buffy enough attention.
Sure. I will say right off the bat, Riley is not my type. And I don't mean...
Oh, really?
I don't mean because he's a beefcake. I just mean, like, I don't know. He's just not... He's very, like, clean cut and, like, polite and, like, whatever.
He definitely has flossed every single day of his life.
You all know here that, like, one of my favorite characters is Spike, so...
Yeah, he's definitely the polar
opposite.
He's the opposite
of Spike.
I myself am inclined towards Hunks.
Yes, you do. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting right next to a postcard of Hunks that you have here in your studio.
Yeah, because I want to be able to look at them all the time.
And we know how you feel about Xander in a Speedo.
We'll get to that later, actually.
Will we?
A little bit.
Wow.
Riley's totally like a innocuous, handsome wallpaper.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And I have negative feelings about that. Anyway, then we go to the dorm room and we meet Kathy. Yes, Kathy. So first of all, this is the nicest dorm room I've ever seen in my life. And they do comment on it.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely like the Friends apartment of dorm rooms.
Yes. Like okay.
3 times larger than it should be. They have like a full-size fridge, right?
Yeah, they have like beautiful desks and like a closet with a door that opens and like a headboard on their bed.
Unbelievable.
My freshman dorm room, I was tripled in a double. So I had 2 roommates in a space that was designed for 2. And by designed for 2, I mean designed for like 2 college students who you don't care about. So you cram them into a space.
Right.
So it was a metal bunk bed and a metal frame with a twin bed in like an L shape in the back of the room. And then there were 2 shitty desks and 2 closets without doors, just like gaping holes, and 2 dressers. And that was it. And then we decorated with a trampoline and a traffic cone because, you know,
beautiful,
very high taste.
Oh, my God.
High class taste for my dorm room decor. But it was not, it was like, and SUNY Binghamton is a good school. It's not even like, you know what I mean? Like SUNY Binghamton is a great school, but college dorm rooms just don't look like this.
They don't look like this at all.
What did your dorm room look like?
Well, okay, so I lived, my freshman year, I lived off campus. I moved to an off-campus apartment with my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Because you were dating an older lady.
Listen. So we moved to an apartment, and it was fine. And whatever. But when I did move onto campus the next year, we broke up. I moved into like a building that had just been built, like additional dorms had just been built. So it was like, I mean, it was like a cement room. Like it was just like a cement rectangle.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Just like functional, but like nothing like this. Kind of like, it had like an Orange is the New Black feel to it.
The prison feel? Yeah,
well, like just that like sort of like, what do they call it? Camp or something? Like the particular type of confinement that they're in where it's sort of like,
like beds sort of just like in a row. And,
Or, like across from each other in like a little 2-person block.
Yep.
But like if the walls went all the way up. Anyway.
Yes. Yes. That.
So we meet Kathy and we get a load of her Kath of aggression. Her Kathy Pat.
Wow.
Passive Kathgression.
Kathive aggression is great, Jenny. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, we get a load of her Kathive aggression, and we also get a load
of her Celine Dion poster.
let's just take a minute, Jenny. I just think, let's just get us all there for just 1 second.
There were nights when the wind was so cold that my body froze in bed if I just listened to it right outside the window.
There were French Canada's national sweetheart.
Oh, wow. So we have a lot of feelings for Celine Dion in this household.
Love Celine Dion.
Love Celine Dion.
We're in the middle of the Dionysance. It's fucking real.
I was going to say, love Celine Dion in 1999. Love Celine Dion in whatever the hell she's doing right now in 2018. But yeah, Kathy, huge fan. And she says, like, what does she say? That she's super fun. She's a super fun girl. She's super fun.
She just, like, knows it's going to be super fun,
knows
I feel
it's
like.
Be
and that's when the Celine poster drops.
Just classic.
So
and then,
good.
Like, there's this scene as they fall asleep where Kathy's making mouth noises.
Oh.
It's just, I mean, going to college is a lot. And you
have to learn to cohabitate with somebody that you're not, like, you know, in a family with or whatever.
Right. And so I do think that a lot of people suffer from passive aggression.
Oh, yeah. And that's
college.
Where you really can foster your passive aggression.
Yeah, because you don't have the tools to, like, say you don't know how to talk to somebody in that situation.
Yeah. You're actually my roommate, my sophomore year, the first time I had a roommate in college, Wow, it was like amazing. I would come home and she would be listening to music.
Uh-huh.
She would have a TV show on.
Oh, God.
She would be like typing a paper on her computer and like just like everything that could be happening was happening. And then she would be like, is this bothering you? And I would be like, no. But in my head, I would be like, how could anyone coexist with everything that's going on right now? She also would have a book open like next to her.
Oh, my God.
It, yeah. Actually, I'm like, wow. Was Wendy did Wendy have powers?
Wendy, are you listening? You're being called out for your, actually, I guess you're being called out, Jenny,
for my inability to communicate
right.
that whatever.
Like every single thing playing at once
was too much for me.
A little too much. So, okay. So we've established having a roommate is hard. Transitioning into college is hard. I mean, did you have a hard time when you got to college? Like, did you have a transition? I kind of didn't.
You were just fine.
Because
you had like two cool roommates and you guys like were thick as thieves right away. I was living off campus, so I was kind of like it was hard for me to integrate. And also I was like fresh out of high school, so my way of like letting somebody know that I thought they were cool, which is something that I did to our friend Bess Rogers a lot, is I would like walk by her in the hallway and like smile at her really sarcastically and give her like two middle fingers and be like, "Hi, Bess." And she would be like, "Hi." And that went on for like a year or two. And then we became best friends. And
so
now we're still best friends. It works.
So
yeah,
if you're listening out there, if you're freshman in college, you know, you just take the Jenny route.
Don't take the Jenny route.
You know, I have to say to you that like you haven't come that far.
How dare you?
You still kind of do that.
I have become such a genuine, warm, sweet, earnest, gentle, loving soul.
You are. All of those things, but you still definitely smile sarcastically and give middle fingers to people you like.
Okay.
So we go to class, American culture class.
This shitbag.
Yo, here's the thing. I know
this guy would be fired.
Would he? In 1999, there were some, I don't know.
Well, when I think back on what some professors I had did and didn't get fired for, you know, this pales in comparison.
Yeah.
But
right? That's what I'm saying.
But this is like overt. Like,
sure, but like, you
what's
know,
a little sexual harassment behind closed doors?
I mean, but
compared
to
like in front of 200 people.
Fine. But like, the thing is that I think there are a lot more freshmen in college now that would sit there and be like, I have authority and I have power.
Right.
And I will tell you what, I do not think a lot of us in 1999, 1998, whatever, were 2000 for Jenny, were aware of the fact that we had that autonomy.
Right. Youth are deeply empowered.
Yes. It's not that we weren't empowered like at all. It's just that as a freshman, you're like overwhelmed. You don't know. Like maybe this is just how college is. And it really takes somebody to say like, hey, you don't have to stand for this to kind of get that ball rolling.
Yeah. College kids now would be like, call out post.
Right. Right. But this guy, a blonde girl. A blonde girl.
No,
Jenny,
no, no.
I know we're just starting the season and usually we play the jingle once. But fuck this guy. Okay. Play it again.
The patriarchy.
Dear beautiful friends, listen, if you missed Buffy prom this year, or if you just want to relive the magic, Kristen and I are hosting a very special virtual event. We will be live hosting and also sharing beautifully filmed segments and highlights from this year's prom.
Virtual prom. First time ever. You can see Jenny singing music. Singing music? Singing songs?
Yes.
Singing songs
singing
music on the stage at the Bell House. You can see, I mean, if you've always wanted to like peek in and see what a Buffy prom is like, this is your chance to do it. It's a very good time. And not only will we be playing the recorded footage from prom proper, but Jenny is coming over to my house. My house in upstate New York. She's going to be sitting in this very room with me, hanging out with me live. So we will also be live with you in the chat. We can answer questions. We can tell you secrets. You know, I love telling secrets when I'm not supposed to tell secrets. So I'm chock
really
full
do.
Of some of them right now. And I know I'm not going to be able to keep it all together. So
you're incorrigible. Slumber party.
Yeah, if you want to come and have a prom slumber party. I like that. With us. You can check out all the details. It is June 8th. June 8th, that is a Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's when we go live. That's when you should be there if you want to talk to us in real time, ask us questions that we shall answer, etc. But if you are not around on June 8th, hey, guess what? It's streaming all the way until June 29th. I don't know if you've heard of Pride Month, but we're pretty gay. So we're just leaving it up all month for you so that you can be gay with us should you so choose.
Hooray! Or should I say, hooray!
Jenny, where can they find all of the information?
You don't have to be gay to come to Buffy prom, but it
but
sure helps.
You might be gay when you leave, you know?
Also true. You can get all the info over at bufferingcast.com/live. Yeah, this guy sucks.
Yeah, he's the worst. And of course, like, as much as
also he's like, the point of this class is not to blah. The point of this class is not to blah. The point of this class is not to blah. He says like every option of what the point of this class could be. Then he said, the point of this class is actually, and then you like can't hear him talk because Buffy's dialogue is like louder than his. But like, there's nothing that he could be saying that would make any sense because he already like eliminated every possibility.
The point of this class is for me to be a horrible asshole for the whole semester.
Yes.
You all suck. I suck the most. The end. Anyway, then we go. So now Buffy's on her way to psych class and she's walking with Riley.
Who's got his next to bottom button buttoned on his button down shirt
and this,
only.
This reminded me of what you said about him, that he's like an angel left out in the sun. And also an angel who wears an undershirt underneath his shirt.
Ooh,
so he still can't figure out the buttons. He's still like, oops. But underneath, there's a t-shirt instead of a bare vampire chest.
If Xander, oh my God. If the angel had only one button buttoned, it would be like the third one down.
Yes.
Not the second one up.
Also, this shirt would be made of silk or velvet. So
absolutely.
You know, there's a couple differences here. A little less brooding happening from old Riley.
Yeah,
from Angel.
And so like Buffy, who has been totally uncool around Riley, is like, hi. And he's like, oh, you're Willow's friend.
Right.
Burn.
Well, because Willow, what we didn't talk about before is that Willow and Riley really had a connection.
Right.
In the bookstore.
An academic connection.
Yes. And Buffy's like, what is this shit? Academic connection?
I'm blonde. Also, how do you forget the name Buffy?
Yeah, solid point. So here's something you won't forget. Professor Walsh.
Wow, she's so intense.
You can call me Maggie, or you can call me what my TAs call me behind my back that they think I don't know, the evil bitch monster of death.
That is so extreme.
I'm going to tell you what. That's thumbs up for Maggie out the gates.
Yeah, I mean, like, what, does she have the room bugged or?
Yeah. I just like, I think, here's the thing. Taking this episode on its, as face value, like we have this asshole dude professor who's like a blonde girl fucking call out machine. I hate him. But then we have this female professor, this woman, and she's like strong, and she's the kind of bitch I like. You know what I mean? Like, she's hard edges, and she's like setting expectations very firmly. And I feel like, listen, if you're a college professor, an undergrad professor, and you listen, you can let us know if this is true or false. But I feel like probably when you have freshmen coming into your class for the first time, they're right out of high school, probably one of the best tactics to take is to be like, I don't take shit. This is what I expect from you and whatever. Because it is hard to be a freshman. You kind of don't, you're used to a lot of structure. You now have like very little structure. So I'm just like, just saying, Maggie, I like you so far.
The only thing that she says that I don't like is if you're looking to coast, take Geology 101. Yes. That's where the football players are. Rude. Some football players are also academically inclined.
That's rude. You know what? And we're not going to play the jingle a third damn time, but you know what? That's a product of, Jenny.
Wow, it's just little men being victimized by the patriarchy
as well.
I mean,
listen, that it happens. That shit happens.
Okay, so guess what time it is? Guess what time it is?
From the sound of you, it's like Faith must be arriving, but I know that doesn't happen.
It's the other Faith.
The other Faith? Go on.
It's Eddie, a.k.a. Pedro Pascal, a.k.a. Oberyn Martell, the Viper of Dorne. Holy fuck. Here he is at 24 years old, looking so cute and sweet. And also, like, not very far off from how he looks now at the age of, like, 43 or whatever.
No.
Oh, he's so cute. I love him.
He is so cute. I really can't get behind you calling him the other Faith. Though.
I mean,
I think that's taking
think
it a
about
little.
Oberyn Martell for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, great. I'm sorry. Not the
Hell
other
yeah.
Faith.
Bisexual icon.
Okay, fair. You make a solid case. So we learn that Eddie and Buffy have a really nice exchange here. They're like, he's the first person that's like kind of on her level, lost at campus.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, and they talk about their security blankets.
Oh my God.
Yes, Jenny.
He's like of human bondage, and she's like, I'm not really into porn.
I know, which I kind of was into. I was like, Buffy like really held her own, thinking this guy was like, oh, this like porn book, and she was like, you know, I'm not into it, man, but like A plus for you.
I love it.
She was really sex positive in that moment, and I liked it. But right, Of Human Bondage is just is the book. It's ranked number 66 among the 100 top American classics. I don't even know. I'm making up things, but it's. I looked it up and I thought I would find like a plot line where like a person gets
fell asleep reading.
I did. The synopsis. Literally, I was bored reading.
It's like a man has a journey.
So then sweet old Eddie turns the corner, parts
and
ways.
He's looking like, oh, he's like, oh, I really like that girl.
Yes, and she really likes him.
So cute. But oh no, he has to die. Sorry.
He has to die because welcome to Sunday. Yeah. Let me tell you what. I like a lot of like different Monster of the Weeks. You know, they're great. I'm going to say that Sunday might be one of my favorites because I find her very attractive. Sunday is my type.
Wow.
Especially my 1999 type.
Sure.
Like way. Also, for those of you who are super gay or just like good movies, you may know that the actress playing Sunday, Catherine Town, is also in But I'm a Cheerleader. She plays the character who has like the dark, dark black hair and the like dark eyeliner, who's also one of my favorites. So just like, I love her. I tried to get us an interview with her, but it didn't pan out. But like, if you're out there, Catherine, listening, love you. I love you as Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. Before we get to talking about all of Sunday's shenanigans, which I love so much, let's just hear about a couple of our sponsors.
Okay.
So they take everything out of Eddie's room, including a really like a boombox that I had where like the speakers hook onto the sides of the fucking, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They take all of Eddie's shit out of his room. And Buffy, putting on a detective cap because we are missing who, Jenny? Who's not in this episode? Our true detective.
Detective Angel.
Yes. We're missing our detective Angel. Though, perhaps tune in to next week's episode of Angel on Top, where we get a whole faceful of Detective Angel.
Faceful?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Anyway, Buffy, no trench coat for
Buffy.
Yeah. No little black beanie for her, no glasses. But she's like, I don't see him in class. I'm going to go to his room.
Right.
All of his things are gone. There's a note here. This is weird. But then his security blanket of human bondage is still in the drawer.
Also, this RA fucker with his clipboard.
Right?
I don't know. The weak ones get weeded out.
I mean, he is correct. The weak ones do get weeded out. It's just
By vampires.
By vampires.
Sure.
So we go into the vampire den.
Yo.
Yeah.
Can I talk about my favorite thing?
Please.
The Monet versus Klimt.
Oh my God. It's so good. Did you have a Monet or a Klimt?
I did not.
I had a Van Gogh.
Oh.
Right? Isn't that Starry Night?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which like, this is so on point. Like, everybody, my first girlfriend had a Klimt, the Kiss.
Really?
Yeah, Brandy.
Wow.
Brandy rocked out with the Klimt. And I definitely had people who had the Monet stuff as well. But there were a lot of Starry Nights.
Wow. This is wild. Maybe they just sold it in the bookstore or whatever.
Yeah, they sold it like, and, like, at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah,
they would
sell
them pre-framed.
I think I had a Kandinsky.
Oh, excuse us. Excuse us. I'm so sorry.
And then, which like just like came from IKEA or something, and I was like, art. But the piece of like, you know, sort of like classical art that I had that I like actually had a real connection to,
yeah,
was a print of the this like massive like 8x8 Joan of Arc painting that's
ooh
on at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh wow.
The artist's name is escaping me, but it's probably French.
Uh huh.
and it's very beautiful. But then
that's nice. That's pretty gay of you too, Jenny.
Well, it was, yeah, Joan of Arc, and then like a lot of like Britney Spears, yes, Christina Aguilera, yes, and Avril Lavigne posters. Yes.
We're gonna go there. Let's go there.
Let's do it.
Because Starry Night came later for me. I didn't have it as a freshman. I did have it later on. My freshman year wall, my roommates called the Wall of Girl, and
oh my god,
it was literally a wall covered in girls. There was a picture of Liv Tyler smoking a cigar.
Oh,
there was my god. Giant poster of Tori Amos, the one where she's wearing like a ringer tee and it's like there's like bright greens and reds in it. Do you know what I'm talking about? That poster of it's like a Johnson & Johnson t-shirt or like some like, I don't know.
That,
you know,
sounds
what I mean?
Familiar, yes.
Then I had a giant poster of Ani DiFranco.
Okay.
I had a giant poster of Rent. So there were more than just girls on that.
Wow.
But yeah, and then I had a lot of smaller pictures of like girls that I didn't know who they were. They were just like girls I liked. And I want everybody to know that I did not come out for several months into college. It took me a couple of months. So I really think I left enough clues.
Clear.
My wall. But
like Detective Angel could have put it together.
Yeah, even probably. Detective Angel could have put that one together.
Listen, just in the interest of credit where credit is due, the painter who is responsible for that Joan of Arc painting. Well, if I was a person who didn't speak French, I would say Jules Bastien Lepage, but it's probably like Bastien Lepage or some shit. I don't know. Something French.
So there's some fat shaming that happens in this scene and in a later
scene.
Oh,
God. Right? Why?
There's this scene. It's Sunday. Totally fat shaming this other vampire. And then later, it's Buffy up on the window thing being like, she's never going to fit into those pants with those hips.
Fuck that.
Yeah, come on, everybody. I mean, authentic to the 90s and also now, this certainly is a thing that happens. But like, come on, responsible showrunners. Let's not fucking do this shit for no reason. Thanks.
You know what we can do for no reason?
What can we do for no reason?
Olivia!
You're right. We can all do Olivia for no reason.
No, I mean, we can just talk. I mean, yes. It all came out wrong. I just love her. So, and I love fucking Bachelor Pad Giles.
This is amazing. This is setting a tone. Like, I know, yeah. I know we don't get ahead of ourselves too much in this series, but I just want to say this is really setting a tone.
Yeah, what's up with Giles?
Giles doesn't have the library anymore. He's spending a lot of time at his house, and the first bit we get of him.
Yeah, okay, so Buffy just strolls in, and Olivia is there in ostensibly Giles' shirt, except it's not big enough to be Giles' shirt, but
right.
It's not small enough to be Olivia's shirt.
Yeah, I feel like they made a bad call, the costumers.
Well,
on that.
I think that's just what they do, like when, oh my god, remember when Angel gave Buffy, quote, his jacket, end
yeah.
quote. Like, they just have to, like, make it look not stupid. But, you know, she'd be swimming in it.
I'm sorry, but do, like, a fucking lady in a giant button-down shirt is so sexy.
Okay, I'm not here to argue with you about that, but I am here to argue with the idea of, like, what maybe somebody doing wardrobe would think or, like,
fine.
What they're... You know, okay, whatever. So... Then Giles rolls around the corner in his bathrobe! Like, made of, like, velour or something.
Seriously. He's, like, a fucking vinyl record is playing. He's in his robe, and he's, like, sharing a glass of whiskey
scotch. It's definitely
right.
Scotch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right, it's Giles, so it's scotch.
Yeah.
With Olivia. This is great.
Okay, so... It's super sick when she's
do you think
before when you weren't Hugh Hefner?
Do you think that Joyce is jealous? Do you think if Joyce knew, she would be jealous?
Joyce is too busy like taking inventory of the gallery. They never had a real chance.
Wow.
No, I mean, I love them both, but they're not right for each other.
Why not?
Well, I think Giles has like inherent like ripper qualities
right.
to him, and I think Joyce is like too pure.
So you're saying that? Are you saying that that Joyce and Giles were good together when they were in high school because Joyce was more carefree?
Ooh, yeah.
And now Joyce.
I mean,
is
they're
like,
both responsible adults now, but like I just feel like it never would have worked.
Okay, all right, fine. Oh, Olivia, it's working for Olivia.
And listen, this pairing, ideal.
Couldn't pass through town without looking up old Ripper. She says to a mortified Buffy.
Okay, so there's, I just want to like pull this apart for 1 second. a lot of like ageism happening here.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like the line is blurry between like your parents having sex, and which is essentially what's going on here,
right,
and like ageism.
Totally.
Like, nobody wants to think about their parents having sex. And maybe that's a product of our sort of like puritanical Western society, whatever
right.
the fuck. But like, yeah, I
but
still don't want to
like,
think about it.
Generally speaking, because you're right, like, this is totally ageist when Buffy's like, you're very old and it's gross. But like, even beyond it being your dad or your parent, like, when you're 16, 17, 18, and you're like just starting to have sex for the first time, it really is.
You think
like,
you have discovered it.
Yes. And you really.
Look what I invented.
You cannot imagine older people doing the things you're doing. Like, you can't. So
they wouldn't get it.
I know that is ageist, but it's also, there's something a little more to it. There's a little more texture to
right,
it than
right.
just flat out ageism. And the important part of this scene, I mean, sorry, the second important part of this scene, because Olivia and Giles is very important, is that, you know, Buffy's like, Giles, I need your help. And Giles is like, you have to do this on your own. And we find out later, of course, that he's doing this intentionally. He's trying to teach her self-reliance.
Right, right. But like, what it does is just like further, you know, intensify her feelings of like, being a fish out of water,
yeah,
and like not knowing what the hell to do with herself or how to like, how, like who she is anymore in this like new context,
totally
without like her people,
totally. So she leaves dejected. She goes back to campus, and all of her shit is out of her room.
Right, right. And then she's like out in the grass, and she's like, "Isn't that the Viper of Dorne?" In that windbreaker.
And she's like, of course, because this is Buffy's like ongoing narrative, is she makes a connection and then that person dies or turns into a vampire or both. And she's like, fuck. And then she stakes Eddie. And
in record time.
Yes. And behind her stands Sunday, like in this stance that if you missed it, go back to it. Because she's like standing up above Buffy and like her hand is on her hip. And she is just as sassy can be. That's all I'm going to say.
You guys, I know this isn't what we're talking about anymore, but Oberyn Martell is nicknamed the Red Viper, and I just want to correct retroactively myself.
God,
sorry.
If Joanna Robinson is listening.
Don't listen, Joanna!
But yeah, so they fight. You know, Sunday distracts Buffy by saying her outfit is stupid, because that's what this whole episode is. It's just people calling each other fat and telling them their clothes aren't good enough. College!
Hooray!
And Buffy runs away with a injured arm.
And she even falls. It's like very, very yeah. blonde girl horror movie.
She's, and we've talked, like, so I think one of the first episodes where we talked about this was the puppet show in season one, where we're used to seeing Buffy in control of herself. And
But when there is a an animated fucking ventriloquist dummy.
Right. Or college.
Right. The two great terrors of life.
Yes. Or heartbreak. Those are the ways so far we've really lost Buffy.
You either run or you put on your overalls of sadness.
Yeah. Maybe she's running to her overalls of sadness.
Possibly.
Jenny. Sunday ends the scene with a great freshman line.
Oh, God.
So then we go to Mom's house.
Mom.
Which really is important for two reasons.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jenny.
No, please.
Gonna,
please.
Oh, I was just going to say, so one is her room is full of crates.
Buffy doesn't belong anywhere.
Did you? Okay, so your room, when you went to college, how long did it stay your room for?
I think it stayed my room.
You're like, it's still there.
No, my God. No, I think because I would go home for the summers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just stayed in my room, but maybe like they redecorated it, repainted it. I don't really remember.
I think I kept my room for freshman and sophomore year. And I think then I moved to New York City and my parents were like, okay. And I think my sister moved into my room and they turned the other room into the guest room. And that was it for me. No room for Kristen. But that's a traumatic thing when your room is gone.
Yeah.
You know?
It's wild.
And you know, you're really out there. You're really on your own.
Yeah. I think like, the thing about watching The Family Stone every Christmas that, like, makes me the most, like, is that, like, they all still have all these adult children each have their individual rooms, like, just as they left them.
Yeah. It is nice. I'd still love to have a room at my house.
Right?
Yeah. With, like, all my old tchotchkes in it.
Yeah, a little time capsule.
Yeah. The other important thing in this scene, I don't know, actually, if it's important. It seems important, is that the phone rings.
It's interesting. She picks up the phone and there's nobody there.
There's nobody there. Maybe, I don't know.
Never. What could that be?
Let's put a pin in it.
Yeah, let's just come back to that if it ever becomes relevant.
Now, off to the Bronze. We go to the Bronze, and who's singing, Jenny?
Oh, that's Angie Hart, of course, formerly of Frente. Currently in this iteration, her new band, Splendid.
I love Frente so much.
I also love Frente so much.
Yes, and there's an angel lookalike at the bar. That's the credits. He's credited in the IMDb listing as angel lookalike.
Oh, the guy?
Yeah.
David Boreanaz is actually the first shot.
Really?
He's uncredited. That's the side of his face. And then when you see the second look, when he turns his face more, it's a different guy.
I didn't realize that.
How about that shit?
Pretty cool. Speaking of men that Jenny may or may not be attracted to.
What?
Who else is at the Bronze, Jenny?
Well, it's Xander. And, you know, you know that, like, shit has got to be going poorly for Buffy when I'm like, I'm so happy to see Xander.
No, you know what?
It's sweet.
I had the same moment and thought, like, you know, we obviously have a lot of things that we say about Xander, but we're in season 4. And, like, Xander's been with us since season 1. And for all of his shortcomings, Xander is one of the fucking gang. And it's good to see him.
It's good to see him. Good to be back, Xander.
Yeah, welcome back, buddy.
Especially because he's got a hot, hot male stripper's untold story that allows my mind to run wild thinking thoughts about his Speedo and dollar bills in the waistband, as he mentions later.
Yes. We also get a little bit of information about what happened when Xander got home, which was that he has been forced to move to the basement and pay rent, which is, you know, we've gathered little bits of Xander's home life, and this is just another one to add to the stack that, like, speaking of losing your room, like, not only did he lose his room, but he has to pay rent. He literally just graduated from high school. So that's shitty.
Yeah.
But then he makes Buffy feel so much better.
He does. And this is, like, maybe arguably Xander's superpower, is that when his more powerful friends and allies are faltering and having weak moments, he is almost always the person to lift them up and make them remember how powerful they are.
Totally. And he has some big lines here. First of all, I do enjoy him saying that she looks like she has cancer of the puppy.
That's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
But then he goes on his whole, like, hate leads to anger, whatever.
Yeah.
And Buffy makes this, like, Dadaism joke, which is, like, so out of character. Like, earlier in the episode, she was like, I don't want to take a class about the novel because reading books.
I know. And then she's like, Dadaism.
I feel so abstract.
This is, it reminds me of our conversation from the Zeppo about the writer's room, when you can really just draw the line to where the writers are.
Yeah, a writer's fin has poked up out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. But Xander has this line. First, he says, you know, you're Buffy. And then he says, like, you know, whenever I'm really losing it and I'm really struggling, I think to myself, what would Buffy do?
And he's like, you're my hero.
Really nice. And we all get this, like, wonderful moment with Xander that he follows with, although sometimes I think, what is Buffy wearing? And I wrote, come on, man.
Dude.
Come on. We had this beautiful moment with you, but
why you got to do that?
Xander is as Xander does, you know, so can't just shake all the Xander off in one fell swoop. So anyway, Xander is like, there's a vampire? Let's fucking go for it. Let's get
this shit. Yes, and
so
somebody's still on the team.
Yeah, so they go off and they break into what we've decided is an admin building.
Yeah, it looks like the registration office or something. And they're like, clickety-clickety-clack.
Yep, back to Detective Buffy. 1982, key fact. And Xander has, like, all of these newspapers. And they crack the case.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know how they always, like, store newspapers in the registration office.
What? So they figure out where this vamp den is, they go over to it, and they're, you know, Buffy's in the window, and she's like, that's my stuff, and Xander goes off to find the gang, and then, of course,
why would you keep hanging out on the skylight?
I mean, you can
of
tell
a condemned building.
You can tell just by looking at her on that window that it's going to fall. Like, there's no, why would you put your whole body on a pane of glass?
I really don't know. I can't tell you because I don't
know. So she goes crashing through, and luckily it seems like that window is made of safety glass because there are no sharp pieces.
Thank heavens.
Thank God. And then Buffy starts to fight, kind of, but it's not looking good. She falls on the bad arm. She sort of says, like, you made one mistake. And Sunday's like, what's that? And she's like, I'm not sure.
Statistically, people usually make at least one mistake.
Yeah. Xander gets back to the rest of the Scoobies, hasn't seen them.
Right.
The only important thing I think in this scene is Xander saying to Oz, do we hug? And Oz saying, I think we're too masculine for that.
Yeah. Too manly.
It's too manly. It's cute because you can tell they're calling each other out for not being, quote, manly. Yeah. Cute boys. So I'm saying cute boys being boys.
Kathy is like, does Buffy have a history of like mental distress or something? Because I specifically requested a stable non-smoker.
So I don't think you can request
somebody's stable,
somebody's mental health in your request, Kathy. But anyway, back to the vamp den.
Sunday steps on the class protector award.
Yes.
And no.
No. And this activates Buffy.
So activated.
And I'll tell you what, we're sitting in the studio right now looking at our class protector award.
Hell yes.
And I will tell you, if anybody stepped on that, I would also kick their ass.
I would undislocate my arm and then punch them in the face with it.
Fuck yes. Oh, remember that time that Faith relocated her own arm?
Yes, I do. Cool. Fuck yeah. She used Xander's body to do it.
Yep.
Great Hell talk. Yeah.
Anyway, so this is a
best use of Xander's body. 2018.
So this is an incredible fight scene, I think.
So great. Really. Sunday and also the scene earlier, like before Buffy ran away, was also great. Like watching like Sunday kick Buffy like up the hood and windshield of a car. Pretty tight.
Yeah. They must be getting a bigger budget for their
fight choreography.
Fight choreography and stunt people are getting better meals. You know, they're all ready to work. I don't know. Yeah. Just making stuff up, guys. But yeah, Buffy's fighting with a tennis racket. And then we get the most gift. This is the most gift moment in the series, I think.
Unless the most gift moment in the series is Faith breathing on the window and drawing a heart with a stake through it. Or if the most gift moment is Faith and Buffy dancing at the bones.
Those are the most gift moments if you're queer.
Oh.
But if you're just a person.
Just a regular person.
Yeah, if you're just a regular person. If you're non-queer, I think that the rotation of the stake. That's like when you type Buffy into Twitter GIFs. That's the first one.
Hell yeah.
You know, that it's a very famous GIF. So also we're always made fun of for how much we talk about GIFs on the
Are we?
I'll show you. Joanna Robinson in particular.
How dare you, Joanna Robinson?
You guys talk about GIFs so much.
It's weird to talk about GIFs, a purely visual medium.
Right, on a podcast. Yeah. So whatever. So Sunday gets staked, and this is important mostly because of how she is standing when she gets staked. She literally just has both of her hands on her hips, and then she turns to dust. Love you, Sunday.
Your fave.
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Got a thing for a goth girl. What can I say?
I know. So they're leaving. They have all Buffy's stuff that they're carrying, and who should show up? But Work Dad.
Work Dad with all of his weapons gathered in a rush.
I know I was trying to teach you self-reliance, but it's terrible and I love you and I can't stand to think that you might be hurting or feeling neglected in any way. Buffy, I love you. You are the perfect work daughter. How can I help?
Yes.
And Buffy's like, cool.
And they all they all like blow by him. And then he's like, the evil is this way.
Yeah.
So it's a very cute ending. And obviously, I think the biggest arc is that Buffy started solo. But by the end of the episode, the gang is back together again.
Right. Like everybody is. I mean, I feel like they do this with the first episode of like every season. They kind of like have their.
Yeah,
they've spread and then they kind of like come back together. But this feels really significant because it's like a major shift from high school to college. And right. Everybody is like, not everybody's having the same experience. Like, Giles is now unemployed and he's not a watcher an official capacity anymore. Xander isn't going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy and Willow are going to college. Oz is also going to college, but he like stayed back a year, but he also like has played on campus a lot. So he's like very like, he has like a good foundation for being there.
Yeah. And you know who we're missing, Jenny? We're missing a Scooby. And we didn't talk about it at the end of the season. Last season, I don't think, but we're missing.
Where's Cordelia?
We're missing Cordelia. So I don't know if she's going to turn up, but maybe she will. Maybe she won't. You should listen to next week's episode of Angel on Top. But for now, we're going to play Cordelia's jingle because
we miss her.
We miss her.
Cordelia.
Cordelia, I really hope we see you somewhere. Maybe you move to Los Angeles. I don't know.
Anything is possible.
Anything's possible. Wonder what's up with our Cordy.
So Xander and Buffy like have like a nice little, they tie the bow on their conversation. Xander's like, so college isn't so scary after all. And Buffy's like, yeah, at least it's like high school. At least I know what to expect.
And then.
Oh my gosh. The vampire that ran away is like on campus. But then what? He gets shot with some like taser business.
And his like.
What? Who comes out of the woods? Sorry.
Oh, no, please go, please.
What? Who comes out of the trees, the shrubbery? But three guys in, like, military outfits with, like, ski masks on?
Yeah, and some crazy guns. So I don't know what that's all about. Maybe we'll never see them again.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Cool.
Well, we're rounding the bend, and you might be thinking, ladies, no, you've forgotten something. You've forgotten the Sexual Tension Award.
Right.
Well,
right,
we haven't forgotten it. But as we mentioned in season three, we decided we were going to make this a little bit more democratic.
Taking it to the people.
Taking it to the people this season. So Jenny and I have narrowed our contenders down to four choices. So we're going to tell you who our four choices are. And then you are going to see on Twitter the day this episode airs. Is going to go up on Twitter and you're going to vote and you will decide who the winner is. And then next episode, we'll tell you who won and so on and so forth into season four and beyond.
Yes, yes, yes. Who are this week's contenders?
Sexual Attention Award.
And the four contenders for this week's Sexual Attention Award are
Giles and Olivia.
Hell yes. Oh. Buffy and Sunday.
Xander and the Fabulous Ladies Nightclub.
And Monet and Klimt.
So, I hope Monet and Klimt take it.
Yeah, Jenny really came up with most of this. Jenny's very good at coming up with the sexual attention nominees. So once again, today, the day that the episode goes up, is your chance to vote on Twitter. Follow us at BufferingCast and you'll see the tweet. It's a poll and you can click there to vote. And we'll let you know who won when we come back with episode two. Friendly reminder, as we mentioned up at the top of the episode, we will be going every other week with Angel. Angel on Top launches May 30th. That's next Wednesday. What's going to happen? What is Angel doing? Cannot wait to find out.
Probably brooding. Definitely
detective
getting
work.
Some blood from the butcher. steaming his duster.
I thought you were going to say steaming his silk shirts. And I was like, can you steam a silk shirt? That doesn't seem good for the silk.
Unclear.
So, re-sewing on buttons that have just erroneously popped off.
Oops. He's always got a thimble on one finger.
And then we'll be back with Living Conditions, an episode we're very, very excited to talk about on June 6th. We will miss you, but I think we all have a lot of work to do. We have two series to watch now. It's a whole situation. We're all very excited about it, and we hope that you are too.
Yes.
And hey, everybody, welcome to college.
Yeah. I'm Jenny Owen Youngs, and when I'm not watching Buffy and making podcasts with Kristen, I am making songs, hot, hot jams. You can hear some of them at jennyowenyoungs.com/buffering. And you can always give me a shout on Twitter at Gmail. Nope.
At Gmail? You can give me a shout on Twitter at Gmail.
I haven't podcasted in some time. You can give me a shout on Twitter at Jenny Owen Youngs.
I am Kristen Russo. You can find out more about me and the work that I do with LGBTQ communities, with Everyone is Gay and My Kid is Gay. You can learn all about those things on my website at kristinnoeline.com. That's KristinNoeline. Jenny just mouthed my initials while shaking her head and rolling her eyes at me.
I know,
like,
this
some
song
kind of
by
petulant
heart.
Petulant teenage child.
How dare you?
Anyway, KristinNoeline.com. You can also find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, etc. at KristinNoeline.
You can find me on Instagram too at Jenny Owen Youngs.
Okay.
Buffering the Vampire Slayer is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BufferingCast. And you can always email us at BufferingTheVampireSlayer@gmail.com.
You can support us and the work that we do in a few ways. So many of you already have done these things or doing them probably right now as I'm talking. You can go on over to iTunes and leave us a good review. That helps people find our podcast, which is really awesome because our community keeps getting bigger and bigger. As a matter of fact, Jenny, something that we didn't mention is that during our break, two really big things happened. Time put out an article of their top 100 podcasts. And
it was actually top 50.
It was top 50?
That's right.
Oh my gosh, I keep saying 100. I'm really doing us a disservice.
Cut that in half, girl.
Well, Time put out a list of their top 50 podcasts of 2018, and we were on it.
What?
And then a few weeks later, Esquire put out a list of their top 10 podcasts of 2018, and we were on it.
Yeah, I greased a few palms at some major media corporations. I'm not ashamed to say it. Got us on some lists.
Oh, no. The truth of it is that you all are wonderful, and you're supporting us, and you're speaking about your support in ways on social media and what have you, and people are finding out about us. It's really exciting because I think, as everybody who's listening to this podcast knows, like, we're talking about Buffy, but we're also building a really supportive community of people who are like, fuck the patriarchy, fuck homophobia, fuck transphobia, like, you know, a community that says fuck a lot, which I think is great.
Hell yeah.
So thank you.
Fuck yeah.
So thank you all for your support in these ways, and this is why it's important. Like, those reviews, they help people find us, and then all of a sudden we're on a list, and then more people find us. It's great. And also, you can support us by going over to Patreon. Patreon is a place where you can pledge $1 or $5 or $10 a month, and you get really fun things in exchange, like the MP3s of our songs in advance, our Buffy watches, admission into our secret Facebook group, all sorts of fun things. And a bonus mailbag episodes, which you, those of you who pledge at the $10 level got a fun episode just about a week ago. So that is all fun. And then, of course, if you'd like to outfit yourself in all of our apparel, you can do that. You can just go to bufferingthevampireslayer.com and click on shop. And yes, that is another way of supporting us.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, by the way, you can find our Patreon also on our website, bufferingthevampireslayer.com. Just click on Patreon. We've made it pretty easy.
Yes.
So those are ways.
One more way you could support us is by handcrafting meticulously a ornamental parasol and then using a little wood-burning tool to burn Jenny and Kristen class protectors into a little wood plate that you then affix to the ornamental parasol, and then you could time travel back to prom and give it to... Wait, you guys already did
you
this.
You did that.
Thank you.
Oh,
I'm just staring at it and getting kind of like choked up.
If you don't know what Jenny's referring to, when we had our prom back in March, a wonderful core group of our Scoobies presented us with our very own class protector award. And it was really nice.
Yeah.
So those are some ways you can support us.
And so far, no mean, hot vampires have stepped on it.
Yeah, we've been watching it very closely.
Well, I think that about does it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. And till next time.
Woo! College.
Not supposed to be like this. You know, I used to be a real big fish. Never thought that I would miss being in high school. Nothing really feels the same. Wasn't ready for this change, but no one else's even face feels so uncool. All my friends are blending in, wish I was adapting, but my socializing hours are just chock full of undead men. Wish I didn't have to feel like such a freshman. Soon as I made one nice friend, campus vamps, they fed on him. Seems a Slayer just can't win for losing. Can't believe they cornered me, escaped them very narrowly. Did anybody see where my moves went? Frat guys giving jello shots to incoming women. Yes, I see the patriarchy's alive and kicking. Wish I didn't have to feel like such a freshman. And did I mention Giles has a girlfriend? Or something? And did I mention Giles has a girlfriend? It's fucking weird. I went to the bronze round 10. Xander's back in town again. Sending summer stripping for some ladies. He told me I was strong, he said. I have the strength and power to send Sunday to her knees to beg for some mercy.
Dropped a bunch of psych books on a teacher's assistant. Everyone's into Monet or else they've got Clinton. Wish it didn't have to suck to feel like a freshman.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.